Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Last week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison shared on the subject of hearing the voice of God. This week, Tony tells us about some of the adventures he has experienced when he has listened to the voice of God.
I went to Tamworth, and on the way home, I was praying. I was praying on the way over there, praying on the way back. And God spoke to me, because for weeks now and months, I've been telling an old lady from my church that I'd come visit her. But because she's an hour out of town, you say, oh, Tony, look, I don't have the fuel to go out there. You know, what if you can't find her place? I tell people, you've got to keep your word. And I said, yeah, I'm going to come out there one day and I'm going to minister to you, you see. But me and Alan Jackson were singing up a storm in the car, you know, how great they are, the old rugged cross. And we just sing along like a typical black fella. Got radio in the car, two stations, country and western. And I missed the turn off. And I got lost. Black fella getting lost for anything. And hear me black tracker certificate back. And I said to God, I said, the Holy Spirit, you've got to get me there because I'm lost. Anyway, I found the place where she lived. Can you believe it? I went there and I couldn't see if anyone was home. Anyway, when I finally got inside, when I got let inside and we got talking, we were just sitting there. And she said to me, she said, brother, I'm so glad to see you. I love you and I'm glad you're here. And we just got talking and you know, I said, well, how's your day been? And she said, well, I've been in bed all day. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I've been to the doctor. And, you know, I've got this pain running down my legs and that, of course, through varicose veins and whatever else, she said. And the doctor said, there's nothing they can do for me. There's not a thing they can do. The doctor, in his wisdom, and God gave him brains and wisdom to be a doctor, and he gave her probably good advice for her age, he probably couldn't do anything for her. But that's the difference between me and him, his degrees. I'm just a simple black fellow who loves God. I'm just a black fella that says, well, God says, Tony, you lay hands on the sick, I'll heal them. And you know what? When I was visiting this lady, God said to me, Tony, he said, I want you to pray for her because I'm going to heal her. And I said to her, before I finish this cup of tea, I'll have to pray for you. She said, you know what? I know God's going to heal me if you pray for me. And the Bible says, anoint them with oil and pray for them. I anointed her forehead with oil and she sat in the chair, then I anointed the leg with oil, and I just prayed simply. I said, God, you are God, you're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords. Father God, you took her sickness to the cross with you. And Father God, there's no sickness in heaven. So Father God, I'm going to pray for my sister, and I'm going to ask you to heal her completely. And you know what happened? I prayed for her, I said, Amen. And I sat down, she said, can I make you a sandwich? And she got up. And she'd been walking around for about a minute, and then she realized there was no more pain. She was completely healed.
Healing rain is coming down, is coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name. A healing rain, it comes with fire, so let it fall and take us higher. In heaven's rain. began. In your eyes I see the pain. Come soak this dry heart with healing rain. And only you, the Son,
when I went to visit this woman, I got out of the car, I was singing hymns, I knocked on the door, and when I went inside, the neighbour came next door and said, "Hey," I didn't know whether to call the police. There was a black fella knocking on the door and he was singing. I think he might have been drunk. I mean, just because I'm black don't mean I'm drunk. Just because I'm singing, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, not wine, not metho, not gum. I remember once I went to this fella's house and he was a Christian man, and he was a religious man. I rephrase that. He wasn't a Christian man. He was a religious man. And you know, sometimes I say things. And this guy, they was all in this house, you know, and I heard this joke, and I went up to this guy, and I said, "Hey, brother, have you heard this joke?" He said, "What joke?" I said, "What's the definition of a dead atheist?" He said, "I don't know, brother." I said, "All dressed up and nowhere to go. He don't believe in God. He don't believe in hell. He's laying there in the box. He's all dressed up and nowhere to go." And this guy starts crying. Tears are flying out of his face. I didn't know they buried his brother that day, and he was an atheist. I put my foot in my mouth, yeah, all dressed up and nowhere to go. And he didn't get the punchline. And he said to me, "Brother," he said, and he had this bar in the back room, you know, and it was full of bourbon, Jack. He had all the favourite boys, Jack, you know, Jim Beam. He had whiskey. He had everything. He had every spirit known to man on that bar. And he said, "Brother, you name your poison, you can have it." And I said, "Brother, the only spirit I want doesn't come out of a bottle. It comes from heaven, the Holy Spirit." We don't look down our nose at these people because, you know, it could be you next time. You know, you can judge somebody. You don't know their circumstances. Just like that woman with five kids and her husband died. What was she to do to feed her kids? If you're listening to this program and your circumstances are out of control and you don't know God and your circumstances become your God, there's no way out. You got debts that you can't pay. You got a drug addiction. You're hooked on gambling. You're locked in adultery. You know, when you get into adultery, you tell a lie, you can't get out. One lie adds to another, and you just sink further and further into the pit. And when you get so far down in the pit, there's no way out. And you know what? It's going to implode on you. You know, when you get caught up in lies and deceit and deception, you think that you're clever. You think you're getting away with it. You think you're lying to your wife. You think you're lying to your girlfriend. You think you're lying to your boss. You know, when the boss pays you to work 9 to 6 and you clock off early at 5 o'clock because there's nobody else in the office, you're not only robbing your boss, but you're robbing God, because you don't have integrity. You have to have integrity. When people see me walking down the street, mate, I'm as fat as Fat Albert. What you see is what you get. There's no pretenses about Tony Dennison. I just love God. And I talk to God about to anybody that wants to listen. You know, I'll pray with anybody, anytime, any place. That's what I'm here for, to be about my Father's business. I honour God because He is my God. Before I met God, I was an adulterer. I was a liar. I was a gambler. I owned a brothel. I was a bank robber. The world considered me useless and a piece of crap. They saw no value in Tony Dennison. My kindergarten teacher said to me, "Tony Dennison, you'll be in jail before you're 21. But you see, God loved me so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. That's how much I'm worth to God. If there was nobody else on this planet, if it was just Tony Dennison in his sin, a liar, the scum of the earth, God would have still sent Jesus to die just for me. But He sent Him to die for you as well. What I love to tell people is that circumstances aren't your God. God is your God. And no matter what the circumstances, Jesus has got an answer for every one of them. All you have to do is trust Him.
Trust in Jesus, my great deliverer, my strong defender, the Son of God. I trust in Jesus, blessed Redeemer.
That was third day, trust in Jesus. That reminds me of when Jesus called Peter to get out of the boat and to walk on the water. Peter spontaneously got out of the boat and started to walk on the water. When he took his eyes off Jesus, it is when he began to sink. As Christians, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and learn to take God at his word.
Take God at his word. I believe when I was in prison, you know, when God said to me, if he'd have said, Tony, run and jump over that wall, I would have ran it and took a jump over it, because I know God that if he says, Tony, do it, he's going to do it, because I trust him. And because that trust comes from a 30 years of a relationship with God, talking and walking and trusting God. And, you know, I've seen God heal a lot of people in the past. You know, I've got diabetes, I've got sleep apnea, I've got kidney problems. But you know what? I pray for people and God heals them. And I say to God at times, I said, how come I've still got these things? And you know what God said to me? He said, Tony, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. And I accept that. I find peace in that. No matter what the world says about Tony Dennison, I know what God says about me. God says I'm his righteousness. God says I am justified, just as if I never sinned. I know that God says I am his and he is mine.
I could walk across the world and never find the answer. I could search the sky above and never get any closer. You made it all, and I am left to fall at the feet of the one who fell for me. You gave your life for mine to have me by your side. I won't look back anymore. I am yours. You'll never say goodbye. You are the reason why I won't look back anymore. I am yours. All the rest can disappear without any traces. I have nothing left to fear as long as your face is. All I can see, you're all I need. Every breath, every step, you're here with me. You give your life for mine to have me by your side. I won't look back anymore. I am yours. You'll never say goodbye. You are the reason why.
With I Am Yours. Tony, hearing God's voice is one thing, though following through is another. Do you have a story about how you heard God's voice and then did something about it?
Years ago when I was living in Sydney and I was unemployed, I said to God, I said, after all the bills was paid, I said, God, there's $40 left in. What do you want me to do with that? And God said to me, Tony, he said, I want you to go and buy a half a lamb. He said, I want you to go and buy that. He said, I want you to buy 10 kilos of potatoes, a couple of loaves of bread and some milk and some eggs and some butter. And I went out and I bought all this stuff and I'm sitting in the car park and I said, God, what am I going to do with this? And God said, you get in the car, trust me, and I'm going to lead you to a family that really needs this. And I said, okay, God, thank you. So I just started following God and he led me towards St. Mary's. And when I got there, I pulled up outside of this house and I didn't even know who lived there. And I said, okay, God, which house is it? And God said, the one straight in front of you, you need to go in there. So I goes up to the front door and I rings the doorbell. And then this lady from church comes out and she looks at me. She said, Brother Tony, is it Brother Tony? I said, yes, it is. She said, what are you doing here? I said, look, I said, this might sound totally off the planet. But I said to God this morning, I got $40 left out of my unemployment. And he wanted me to go and buy all this food. And I went out and I did exactly what God told me to. And when I sat in the car park praying, I said, God, where do I need to take this? And I said, God brought me to your house. And she burst into tears. She gave me a hug. She said, I was praying this morning to God in my prayer closet, and I was crying out to God. And I said, God, we've got a need, and I don't want to tell anyone about it because I trust you, God, to meet that need. She said, we've had no food for the last week. We've got nothing left. We've been living on nothing, and my husband works, and he'd been booking up sandwiches at work and bringing them home so the kids can have something to eat. And she said, this morning, we had nothing. And she said, I cried out to God and I didn't tell anybody. And then you turn up on the door with all this food. She said, isn't God amazing? And you know, when you do things like that for God, God doesn't forget you. And sometimes when you do something good for somebody, somewhere down the track, you're going to need somebody to do something for you. 6 months later, it was Christmas time, and still being unemployed, we had problems. We had enough, food and that for towards Christmas, but we didn't have the money to get the kids' presents out. I went to the mall on Christmas Eve, and we were $50 short of getting the kids' lay-bys out for Christmas. And I said to God, I said, you know, where am I going to get this money from? I just have no idea where I'm going to get it from. The devil come and he started whispering in my ear. He said, you know, he said, you're a bank robber. He said, look, you know, the banks are shut, but just tap someone on the head. Take their money. You only need $50. How hard can it be? You know, how hard can it be to rob somebody to get $50? And I said, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do that. And I was just about to go home. And this family that I saw, they came along in the mall. He shook my hand. And as I walked away, he called me back. He said, Brother Tony, he said, God wants me to give you $50 for Christmas. It was enough to get the kids' Christmas presents out. It was 5 to midnight. The shops had about 5 minutes left. And God never, never, ever fails.
When you move, God is able to move. Our relationship with God and how we hear God can also flow into our relationships with God. When neglected or abandoned, they suffer. As with any relationship, listening plays a very important part. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 8 says, "So how can I change you in the sight of all Israel and the assembly of the Lord? And in hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever." Thanks for listening to King's Kids. Tony will be back next week to share more fascinating stories from his life.